Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
So let's pray and we'll jump in. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the privilege that it is to gather in your name to proclaim your goodness, your grace, your mercy over our lives. And so, Lord, as we sit here today, we sit here full of your grace and your love and your kindness. And Lord, we ask you to speak to us from your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. So my topic that I was given was, you know, we all sit around as a team and we decide who's going to do which ones. And they told me, Chad, you talk about what it means to be faithful in a season of struggle. It's like, all right, that'll uplift everybody. Everybody will be excited about that, right? We'll all be able to identify with it, won't we? So I wanted to just start with just a little bit of word association, just see how awake you are this morning. And I want to talk about the seasons that we have, right? We are in a season of fall beginning today, aren't we? So just do a little word association with me. Just whatever idea, whatever thought comes to your mind, you don't have to necessarily speak it out, but I just want to see your body language as you think about this. So when I say spring, look at those smiles. They just pop up. Summer. Oh, yeah, people thinking about beaches. Yeah, poolside, yeah. Yeah, fall. Oh, the autumn colors changing. So beautiful, isn't it? And then winter. Right? So we might have a few, you know, ski bunnies that are in the place that want to get up on those hills. They're actually looking forward to it. But most people think of winter as kind of the cold months, right? Like, oh, man, I just give me my blanket. Give me my, you know, heater and a fire, and we'll go from there, right? Well, part of what we're talking about today is the reality that all seasons are sovereign before the Lord. So spring is fun. Summer is fun. Winter can be fun. But what we're talking about today is it's not just that God has organized seasons in life. He organizes seasons of our spiritual lives, too. Do you guys know that? Anybody ever gone through a winter season in your spiritual life or an organizational life, right? So what we're talking about today is how is it that we can stay faithful during those seasons of disillusionment or delay, right? And so the first point that I'm going to make this morning is simply this, that in order to survive the spiritual winter, we have to hold to the vision of spring. Right, that if we're going to make it through the winter time, it's necessary that we see the vision for spring. How many of you guys with me understand that God is working in something, even in nature? It's all around us in the dormant months of winter. It's like he's in his creative majesty, in all of his sovereign power. He's culminating the next season, the next era, the next generation of what he is going to do. So if we are going to be people who survive the sucking noise of dormant seasons and disillusionment, you guys thought Pastor Chad slipped there, didn't he? I didn't. I'm just making sure you're paying attention. It requires that we tap into a power of a sustaining word, of belief for a new season, and the understanding that we are under appointment. Right? His anointing and his appointing in our lives are what holds us in the hard times. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21 says this. He says, he changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and he raises up others. In other words, he anoints and he appoints, right? He gives wisdom to the wise and he gives knowledge to the discerning. Jesus sustains us throughout the watch between promise, appointment, and the fulfillment of his vision. How many of you with me here today understand that God is not through with us yet? That the work that he's begun, he will complete unto his return. That's the spring, y'all. Spring is eternity in him forever when he takes away all of the burdens and all of the pain of this world, right? That's where our eyes as followers of Christ need to continue to be lifted towards, is the king who sits on high. Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, when times are good, be happy. When times are bad, consider this. God has made one as well as the other. Therefore, no one can discover anything about their future, right? I love that truth in that scripture, because we all naturally smile when we think of spring, new growth, pretty flowers, wonderful, wonderful temperatures, right? And we also tend to be concerned during the dormant months. We can also get frustrated. We can also get saddened or overwhelmed when hard times fall on us, right? Today, the sovereign message of the Lord is, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same in the good and the bad. And he's aware of exactly where you find yourself today and every day of your life, right? So surviving the winter, surviving the dormant seasons, surviving the sucking realities that we can find in this world requires that we recognize that he appoints and he anoints, that he is sovereign over all seasons, and that he has a vision for spring for all of us. So Luke chapter 12, verses 56 says this, "You fools," don't you just love the way some of these verses start, right? Like, that's not me saying that to you. I'm just reading the text, all right? This is Jesus, not me, okay? It says, "You fools, you know how to interpret the weather signs," or the seasons, right? "You know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth and the sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times. Interpret the signs of the times." Do you know that there's a difference between being a time teller and a time keeper? There is. There's a difference between a time teller and a time keeper. What's that difference? The difference is I can tell you the time and not be active in it, right? Like I don't have to be proactive in that. I can stay passive in that. What time is it? Oh, well, it is 9:43. And at some point in this message, we're hoping Pastor Chad gets this thing on track so we can go with him, right? Time tellers and the difference of time keepers. Time keepers understands that they're under authority. They understand that they have roles in keeping the time. And so I ask you this morning, church, what time is it? What time is it? Thank you for not saying 9:43. You just told us that, right? What time is it? It's an important question of orientation to what God's up to in any given season. See, if we don't learn to train our eyes to see what God's doing in the dormant times, then we'll get disillusioned. We'll get discouraged in those dormant seasons. But when we recognize that his life is active and under the surface, then we move from passive to active faith, from static to dynamic faith, where we see ourselves as not just people seeing what God's up to, but participating in what God is up to. Does that make sense? It's not just that we're not just the audience form for the display of what God would do. It's the reminder that he is living through us. In other words, God wants you to be a time traveler, to be able to move and interpret and translate what he is up to in any given season of our lives and of our community life. Time is important. Telling time is helpful, right? But joining God in his mission is keeping time. And I don't know if you picked up on it, but that verse that Jesus just said where he started with, "You fools," right? He says he expects his followers to not only trust that God's goodness and sovereign nature, his omniscient and omnipresent power is available, but that it's resident in our lives. In other words, he desires us to be interpreters of time. How many of you guys like to run into people who like winter? Because they remind us of why it's important that we have winter, right? I know Jody likes the winter. Jesus expects his followers to not only trust in God's goodness and his sovereign nature, but to partner with him in seeing that interpreted into the world. He desires for us to be interpreters of time. Come on, somebody. Jesus anoints and he appoints watchmen and watchwomen in the in-between. Okay, because here's the deal. The vision is set for a time. The appointment is set for a time. And the in-between is where we get to operate in a little something we call faith, right? You guys remember in Habakkuk chapter 2? Says this about watchmen. It says, I will climb up to my watchtower. I will stand at my watch. I will stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. In other words, participate in active prayer, right? Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that the runner can carry the correct message to the others. You guys see the proactive participation right there? In verse 3, this is the part that we all find ourselves in seasons of struggle or in seasons of difficulty or seasons of strain. It says, the vision is for a future time. I like the way the new NIV says it. It says, the revelation awaits the appointed time. In other words, he's sovereign over it. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. Wait for it, right? For it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Anybody in this place waiting on something from the Lord? A promise? His word? His fulfillment of the vision that he's given to you? That he's given to us, right? Habakkuk reminds us this is faith. This is how he works amongst us, right? I came across a great quote by Bill Gates. Started a little company called Microsoft or something to that effect. I don't quite recall what he's known for, right? But he says that most people overestimate what they can do in a year, and they underestimate what they can do in 10 years. Let me ask you this, church. What can God do in 10 years through a people who recognize that he's faithful and sovereign over every season of our lives? What could God do? What can God do? What will God do as we learn to trust in him to deliver his vision through us? Jesus calls us to watch with him and to wait with him until the completion of his kingdom, right? That's what the church's mission is. That's why we're called to follow him, right? Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 3 through 7, talks again about this watchman idea. And I don't have this one for you, but I'm going to read it really quickly because I think it's important that we have that framework for the conversation that we're having today, right? Ezekiel 33 says, when the watchman sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Then if those who hear the alarm refuse to take action, it is their own fault if they die. They heard the alarm, but they ignored it, so their responsibility is theirs. If they had heard the warning, they could have saved their lives. But if the watchman sees the enemy coming and doesn't sound the alarm and doesn't warn the people, he is responsible for their captivity. They will die in their sins, but I will hold the watchman responsible for their deaths. Verse 7 says, now, son of man, right? We're seeing this through the framework of who Jesus is in us. Now, son of man, I am making you a watchman for the people of Israel. Therefore, listen to what I say and to warn them for me. Do you guys sense both the anointing and the appointment of that verse for those who follow Jesus? That we get that privilege, we get that honor of not just living in him, but interpreting him back to those who we have relationship with. Made me think of, they've been doing some upgrades at North Glen High School. A couple of those grants came through for them, and so all summer long they had the place just torn apart. And so like a day before school starts, you're looking around going, oh man, they're going to be working a late shift tonight, right? Still have some of the HVAC stuff hanging out. And so for the first 4 weeks of school, at least three times a day while I'm there, after school, they have this fire alarm that's going off in both English and Spanish. It runs continually for about 5 minutes while you're trying to conduct your meetings. And so you have to actually tell the people as you're teaching something, say, listen, I need you to focus here. I need you to listen through the noise in the background. I need you to ignore the alarm, which sounds really weird to say, right? Because a fire alarm is supposed to get our attention. It's supposed to get us moving. It's supposed to get us organized towards something, right? Sometimes this world has a way of lulling us into sleep to where we're not hearing the alarm anymore. Anybody ever identify with that? Where we can just get distracted, where we can get disillusioned, where we can get discouraged. And we forget that the alarm has been sounded and that we are under his appointment as watchmen and watchwomen in this world. That we get to be those who share the love of Christ, the grace and the mercy and the power that he has for everyone. Luke chapter 21, verse 29 through 36 says, then he gave him this illustration, Jesus again leaning back into this season language. It says, notice the fig tree and any other tree. When the leaves come out, you know without being told that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things taking place, you can know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all of these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap. For the day will come upon everyone living on the earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man. Do you hear the active, not passive language that Jesus is using here? Do you hear him ringing the alarm, ringing the alert, saying, do not let it happen to you. Do not fall asleep, right? So I ask you this morning, what time is it? What season are we in? Do you know? Well, according to Acts chapter 3, we are in a season of refreshing. Isn't that good news this morning, church? Acts chapter 3, verse 17 through 21 says, friends, I love that he calls us friends. Friends, I realize that what you and your leaders did to Jesus was done in ignorance. But God was fulfilling what all the prophets had foretold about the Messiah, that he must suffer these things. He says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins will be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. How many of you this morning are being refreshed by his spirit, by his word, by the encouragement of the fellowship of his saints, right? That is the spiritual discipline of walking out the life of God as an appointed watchman and watchwoman in the kingdom. It says, then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you, Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Again, the fulfillment of the vision, right? For he must remain in heaven until the time for the final restoration. Everybody say final restoration. Spring, right? The final restoration of all things as God promised long ago through his holy prophets, right? Not practice, sorry. Football, not football, church, got it. Okay. So let me ask you this. Are all seasons struggle? Are all seasons spring? Has God's sovereign hand not given us both, right? Are seasons of struggle signs of God's displeasure with his people? I don't think so. Are they an indication of his departure? Anybody else sometimes wrestle with those feelings, though? Right? You know, you may have noticed, you may not have, but you may have noticed that North Rock has been in a season of winter. We've been in decline for 10 years 5 years on my watch. In fact, today is the fifth. Like, I was installed this weekend 5 years ago, y'all. And in all of our best efforts, we're still in a decline. It's been 10 years. And there are times when I go back to those scriptures and say, okay, God, I'm being patient. I'm waiting for fulfillment of your vision, right? And I know that we all wrestle through those feelings. But I'm so thankful that God has a spring on the other side of winter. So thankful that his word stands eternal. So thankful that the work that he has done in Christ in us is yes and amen and complete in us. So my question to you today, as God's watchmen and watchwomen on the wall with us, is God done with us? Is God done with you? Is God done with me? Don't want to pause there too long. But I'll give you a chance. Are we at the end of a glorious 30-year life cycle? Or might God be doing something in the dormant hours and weeks and months and years to set up his next great comeback? See, here's the thing. The remnants of God's people always get to participate in the revival that's coming. How many of you with me believe that Jesus is still at work in this world, in Thornton and North Glen, Colorado, in this church, and the lives of those who look to him? He's faithful. His word will be yes and amen, that it will not pass away. Where time will, God's word will not. So we stand here today in assurance, in full assurance, not knowing exactly what's happening in any season, but trusting that God is sovereign over it, trusting that God is faithful in it, trusting that God is at work even when our eyes can't see it. And under his anointing and his appointment, we have the authority and the responsibility to interpret the times until he returns. Can we do that, church? Can we remain faithful to interpret the times as times of refreshing, as times of God sounding his alarm, saying, my love for you is so amazing that I sent God the Son to die on a cross so that you might have life. And not just life, but life abundant. My prayer is that you will watch with us in this season. My prayer is that in faith-filled prayer and growth and giving, in serving and leading and loving, as so many of you do, I already know, but that others would also come and participate and partner with us as we turn our eyes to see and to pray, to move from active to from passive to active participation in his life. There's no doubt that as a congregation, we are coming out of a spiritual winter. And God is faithful to fulfill his vision. He's faithful. And as I stand here as your pastor, 5 years on this platform, all I know is all that God's shown me is one simple thing. Be still and know that I am God. Be at peace and watch what I do. Stay the course. Trust the vision. Trust me in it. And that's what I'm trying to do. Fair enough? Anybody get something from the word today on how we can survive seasons of difficulty and challenge? Yeah? Anybody get from God's word this morning the reminder that he has a sustaining word, that he has sustaining power, and that he has a preferred vision of the future for us? Can we commit ourselves as Tiffany and the worship team come forward? As we end in prayer, can we commit ourselves to running back to the Father, to asking him to reveal and show us how he might move in and through us in the days ahead? Can we do that, church? Let's pray. Father, we recognize that in order to sustain the lean seasons to, in order to remain faithful and at our post in seasons that we might interpret as winter or as dormant or as disillusioning or discouraging or in decline. Lord, we recognize that you are God over all of them, and we embrace them. We ask you to speak to us, to guide us, to lead us, to empower us, and to fulfill your vision through us. Lord, we love you, and we're thankful that we can trust you in season and out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Father, we do make that our heart's cry, that we run to you again and again and again. And as we do, you bring times of refreshment, times of refreshing in our lives, Lord, that even in spiritual winters, Lord, you bring redemption, you bring hope, you bring the next spring. And so, Lord, we lean into you, we trust in you, we ask you to guide our steps individually, collectively, that we would be watchmen and watchwomen who make a difference, who make an impact, who finish our watch in the season that you've assigned to us. Lord, help us to live every day to the fullness, reminding one another that we have the privilege and the honor and the responsibility to interpret the times. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, we're going to close our service as we do every week here at North Rock, sing a prayer. You can sing it if you like, but I'm going to say it because I can't sing. Reminding us of why we exist, to gather, to grow, and to go in Jesus' name. Is to remind people of the grace, the mercy, and the sacrifice of what Jesus has done for them. Let's pray it. Whether it's your first time or your 50th this morning, let me hear you. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. Let me hear you. God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, we pray and we trust. Amen, 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 amen. Hey, can we celebrate the Lord this morning? Thank you, God, for your goodness, for your sustaining word and the love that we sense this morning. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.